the book of Jude. We have a very short chapter of the book of Jude, but so timely and so impactful. Jude was the half-brother of Jesus, because Jesus didn't have no whole brothers. Because His Father was the Holy Ghost. And that critical part of our faith that so many scoffers want to do away with, Jesus was the Lamb of God, born in perfection. Somebody said Jesus could have sinned. No, Jesus couldn't sin because God cannot sin. Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And I sure am glad that I know Him as my Savior today. And Jude, look what he says. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. He talked about, you can run the lineage, you'll find that Jude, or the word Judas, he's the half-brother to Jesus, the brother of James. But he didn't mention that. You got to dig deeper in your Bible to find out who Jude was. Matter of fact, he said, let me tell you, he said, I'm not going to talk about really my earthly relationship, but I want to tell you something about my heavenly relationship. He said, I am the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish family could realize that it's not about the earthly things that matters, but it's about heavenly things. I wish we could be that heavenly focus. You may be seated this morning. As Brother DeWayne said in the prayer room, we get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of the holidays and our busy schedule. But today, may we just take time back to look at what really does matter. And Jude had heaven on his mind. Every time we come in the doors of Liberty Baptist Church, we ought to have heaven on our mind. There's people here that are going through storms, and they have hurts and heartaches. They have very, very bad things happen to them in their life. But I'm glad we can come in here with heaven on our mind. And so Jude begins to write. Matter of fact, he was starting to write something else, and the Holy Ghost began to inspire him and moved him in another direction. And look what the Bible says. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he said, I was starting to write to you about some things that had happened in my life, some things that we all have as a common denominator. First of all, this thing of common salvation, we all needed a Savior. We all were sinners. But it took the Spirit of God, by the preached Word of God, to deal with our heart, to make us aware that we were sinners. And when we called out to the Savior, He delivered us from our sin, placed us in the family of God, and the Spirit of God came to live in our hearts. And He said, I was going to write to you of this common salvation. Said it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. And then He says that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares. He said they didn't come through the front door, they come through the side door. And any man that ain't preaching the Lord Jesus Christ the way to heaven, he ought to be booted out of the back door. Somebody say amen. Who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You know what that means? He's talking about there's men in that day and hour as the apostles had laid down the fundamentals of the faith to that local church. The great day of Pentecost has come and thousands were saved. God sent the Holy Spirit no longer to dwell upon men, but now to come to live inside of men. The apostles laid the foundation of the chief cornerstone being the Lord Jesus Christ. And now some 35 years after the day of Pentecost, no longer do the apostles, no longer were they hands-on in the local church, but now imposters have crept in through the side door. Men, ungodly men, ordained to this condemnation, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They were saying this and they were preaching these heresies that all flesh is bad and all men are bad and the only thing you can do is bad, and so you might as well live any way you want to because the Spirit's the only thing that is right. But honey, this Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away and behold, all things are become anew. I believe in the grace of God. I believe the grace of God saves us. I believe it seals us. I believe it schools us, but we don't have a license to sin. Turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. That word lasciviousness means no boundaries, no remorse. Honey, you better watch a man that tells you it's all right to commit adultery. You better watch a man that tells you it's all right to shack up and live like the devil. You better watch a man to tell you that socialism is okay. Jesus said, straight and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. He said, I wanted to start writing about something else, but the Holy Spirit impressed me to get you to stand for the faith. Our faith has been weakened as a nation. We live in leadership, and I mean, it's publicized news. We have a president that's more concerned in Muslims than he is Christians. Some of you don't like that. I don't care. I'm not a politician. I'm a preacher. And I can tell you this right now. If you will go along with something, it means you would do it. And so it's time that the child of God draw a line in the sand. We've never been so divided in a nation as we are this morning. It seems that the manners and customs of our Bible have been scooted to the wayside. But honey, God said it is preserved forever, eternal in the heavens. And Jude says there are apostles that have crept in. It's bad when the man that is pastoring the so-called largest church in the nation will not make a dogmatic statement that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When a man that pastors the largest so-called fundamental church in America says that the apostles' doctrine has turned into antiquity and no longer matters. Honey, he's washed up and he ought to be put out of the back door of the church. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our Bible's still right and we're going to stand for what God said to stand for. Now you'll notice that Jude writes, didn't take him long to say what he needed to say. He said there are men crept in unaware, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. They were saying, well, once you're saved, you just keep on going, living the way you've always lived. That's contrary to our Bible. We all make mistakes. This flesh will fail you. But honey, we must dedicate ourselves to the Lord Jesus and become sanctified by the Holy Ghost and walk according to the principles and the morals of this Bible. We've never lived in such an unmoral society. I mean, this world's gone crazy. If he is right now, he'd be spitting nails on the paper. So he says, I want you to know something. You need to contend for the faith. He says they've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness or loose living, lifestyles with no boundaries. Men and get up on the stage and say they know something about Jesus and live a perverted lifestyle. Let me tell you, honey, Jesus saves, but Jesus changes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new. Therefore, he says, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I got three thoughts today on this message of contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. Contending is an action word. It doesn't mean to stay neutral. I don't know where a Christian ever got that we're supposed to roll over and play dead. There's men that have blazed the trails through America, that have carried the blood-stained banner, that have died for their faith. I seen a man in a Muslim country, a local pastor. They put him up on a cross and set fire to him and filmed it. The Muslims did that. It cost him something for what he believed. The problem with Christianity today, we just want a little church on Sunday to appease our conscience, to let us go on till we can get back on Sunday, and maybe we can get God off of our case. But honey, let me tell you, old time religion is a lifestyle, serving the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our life. It's more than a Sunday morning ritual. Now notice, first of all, the facts to be presented. He says, the servant of Jesus Christ. I want to talk a minute about this word servant. It means bond slave. It means we are bought with a price. It has to do with the word of that the person has been justified in order to become a servant. I'm glad I've been justified in the eyes of God. In Romans chapter number 5, is it okay that I preach to you a little while this morning? In Romans chapter number 5, let's look at our Bible. Let's try to learn something today that's very important. Romans chapter number 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. I'm glad, honey, that God has justified us. Says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. The Muslims cry, they know God. They don't know our God of the Bible. Not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This may be too strong for some of you, but let me tell you, I don't preach a socialist gospel. This ain't a socialist Christianity. Straight and narrow is the way to heaven. You better be glad you got a man of God to take a King James Bible still preaching to you the way into eternal life. Your children's counting on it. Your grandchildren's counting on the doctrine be right. God help us to stand for the faith this morning. Says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. If you want grace, there's one way into it. By the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man's son would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. Maybe the reason that you can't get joyful in church, you've never got saved. He said, we joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Honey, religion won't let you shout, but redemption will let you shout. Thank God my sins are gone. I've been justified by the blood of the Lamb. Justification has to do with a legal term which is carried out in heaven. I'm glad that I've been justified. I've been totally forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, by the darling Son of God. Justification. He said, I become a servant because He's been justified. If we can brag on anything, it's because the Lamb of God saved us one day. And so Jude is right, and he said, not only am I a servant, has to do with justification, a legal term conducted in heaven. But look at the second word. He says in verse 3, sanctification. It's sanctification is that relationship with God into which we enter into when we trust His Son. Sanctification. Now, justification has to do with a legal term which went on in heaven. What is sanctification? Sanctification is something that's going on in my heart to let me know that something happened up in heaven. If there's nothing going on in you and on you, there's nothing never happened above you. Justification, then sanctification. It means to be set apart by God in a relationship. I'm glad, I'm glad He loves me this morning. I'm glad I'm in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, he uses the word servant and sanctification. Look in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 3 about this thing of our sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. After you get saved, you should act like you got saved. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor or purity. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother or get an advantage of him in any matter. Don't matter from horse trading to car trading. Because that the Lord is the avenger of all. You may think somebody give you a raw deal, honey, but God wrote it down and God will have the last word. But it goes hard against the flesh, don't it? As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, we need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren that's in Macedonia. We beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, I wasn't going to read this, but it's so good, I'm just going to keep on reading. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud. I say hallelujah. I say great glory. I'm glad I'm in sanctification today. I'm glad I'm in a relationship with Jesus. I'm glad everywhere I go, He's with me. When I walk, He's with me. When I talk, He's with me. Thank God I serve a God that's got His eyes upon me this morning. You see, there's a faith to be presented. The servant. The sanctification. And then look about the security. He used a word that it's never used again in our Bible. He said, I want you to know something. He said, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. And God, some of you look like you got preserved in pickle juice. Some of you like you got preserved in sauerkraut juice. But we've been preserved in Jesus. Somebody said, I don't know about them preservatives if they'll work. Honey, I'll tell you something, I've been working 30-something years. I'm glad one day the Holy Ghost birthed me in the family of God. He come to live in me, and I sure am glad I'm secure in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Security says you are preserved. That word in the Greek, look it up, it means kept. Glad I ain't keeping myself. You know, this thing of keeping the faith, there is socialism, liberalism, and legalism. Legalism wants to add to what God has said about grace. Legalism is full of do's. Do this, do that, do this. I know some men that preach so many do's, their people have become up under the law of bondage and death, and their church won't grow. There's a fine line where a man's got to preach right and preach doctrine, but let folks be who God called you to be. Amen. I think we all ought to look like Christians. I think we ought to dress like Christians. I think when you come to Liberty Baptist Church, your dress ought to be long enough that your mom ought not say, let your hem out. Somebody say amen. I believe you men ought to cover your flesh up. Because we're humans, we're individuals, and this flesh gets us in trouble if it goes unattended. But honey, I come to tell you today, there's great liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I deer hunt, I'm saved. When I play golf, I'm saved. When I go shopping, I'm saved. But legalism wants to add to what God's already said has been done. At Bloody Calvary, He gave His blood. He washed away our sins. He said we're saved by faith through grace. Nothing added. Nothing minus. Honey, I'm glad God's got it all in charge today. If you're going to get saved, you'll be saved by the grace of God. Legalism. Got to do this and got to do that. And then there's liberalism. They don't add to, they try to take away. They don't want to offend nobody. They want to live in a culture where you make a dogmatic statement about Jesus, they become so liberal, they won't say nothing. I'd hate to know my preacher's mouth was so mushy you didn't know where in the world he stood. Liberals. The only liberal folks that need even be on our parking lot is liberal givers. Somebody say amen. Now they'll take you to court for slanging a cat across the yard. They'll let a dog eat you up. You kill the dog, you go to jail, but you can kill your youngin' and don't do nothing about it. This world's gone crazy. Preserved. I don't know how I got on killing dogs from preserved. But I'm glad I got on it. I'm glad I'm preserved. I'm glad I'm kept by the power of God. You ever notice this? You that are saved, when you do something, the Holy Ghost in you tells you that you're doing wrong. Isn't it amazing? Before you got saved, that didn't happen. That's why some of you can live like the devil and don't bother you. You ain't saved. But honey, once you get saved and the Spirit of God lives in you, He'll let you know when you're doing wrong. He said He'd lead and guide you into all truth. Now, the facts to be presented, the servant, the sanctification, the security. I'm glad preserved means kept. Now, note how we're kept. And it's a strong Bible term. But we are preserved in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a great difference in the Old Testament economy and the New Testament economy. In the Old Testament, God could only bless a people by being in a place. But in the New Testament, He blesses His people with a person. In the Old Testament economy, God could only bless people in a land, in Canaan. But oh, in the New Testament economy, He blesses people in the Lord. And I sure am glad that we're preserved in Christ, not preserved in the Baptist church. Honey, they would lose your name off the roll in just a minute. If all the people come here that's been here in 21 years, we'd have to build a coliseum. I have no idea where they're at and don't even know part of their names. Amen. They don't want nothing to do with the church and a preacher when they're living. Well, you better think about when you go to die. It's very important when you die who you know. You better know the Lord Jesus Christ. Contending for the faith. Facts to be presented. Facts of a servant, bond slave. I'm glad I belong to Him this morning. You belong to Him. We ought to serve Him and obey Him. We ought to serve Him because He loves us. I want to ask y'all something today, and you're not going to like it. But I wonder if we had a Black Friday sale. We give away 55-inch screen TVs for every guest to be here on Sunday night. I wonder who'd be here tonight. Why don't you serve God because you love Him? She's quiet now. I might as well preach while it's quiet. I go to revivals preaching. Sometimes they shout so loud, people don't know what I'm saying. I just hush and let them shout. Then it gets quiet, I go back to preaching. We've got our priorities wrong. I wish Jesus would rearrange your house the way the F does. Look out now. Ain't that right? What happened to us loving Jesus? Glad He saved. Hey, you got any idea what it'd be like in hell? Burning for an eternity? And you think, well, preacher, there's no reason to get excited in church. He just saved me. That's a pretty big Bible word. It took God a whole lot to get you there. He gave His Son. That you may go free. We've got caught up in the hoopla of this world and we lose the focus of what Jesus has taught us. Love Him. It's okay to enjoy life. I'm not going to get on there and blast everything you're doing. If I spent my whole life on Facebook, I wouldn't have no time to read my Bible. I never heard so much drama in all my life. Grown people, 50, 60-year-old, eat up with drama. It's about time we outgrow some drama. I got chewed out this week because we wasn't bragging on somebody's Facebook enough. Lord Jesus, I wish that's all I had to worry about. How do you defriend people like that? Somebody tell me. You're not commenting on my post. I comment on yours. Man. Has it ever dawned on you folks that Jesus went to Calvary and died for us? And what the local church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a close place. It's supposed to be a committed place. When you die, and you're going to need some of these people. Right now, you may think you're young and bulletproof. Don't need none of them. Let me tell you, when the tire hits the road, this is all that matters is your peace with God. Surrounding yourself with the right kind of people. He said, I want you to know I'm a servant. That ought to be our hearts. How could we do to serve Jesus? I mean, really, come on now. If you didn't have a preacher turn the light on, you wouldn't never get no light. You ought to try being a preacher. You ought to try having everybody look at you and sum you up and size you up and tell everybody else how you'd handle something. Y'all just try it a few weeks. We're in a church. We're in a place that ought to be sacred. They'll throw the beer cans out in the front yard and never even blink. Just throw them out the window. Got to put privacy gates up at the entrances just to keep people from coming here dealing drugs on our property. We got alarms set in the church. Isn't that sad? But that's where we live. And so this is what we've got to learn. We better learn to get accustomed to preaching through it. And not just tucking tail and running and saying, well, nobody loves Jesus. There's still some people that love Jesus. We can be individuals, but we're not better lose what God told us to be. Servants. Serving the Lord. How can I serve the Lord this week and be a blessing? How many people in this church have needs that we can be a blessing to? How many people on their deathbeds that need a word of encouragement? Maybe somebody come by and hold their hand and have prayer with them. I remember Brother David one time telling me about an old Church of God feller down here dying below the church. Can't even call his name. What was his name? Marvin Thornton. Lived right there below the rubber plant. I went down there one night, Brother Lee, and knocked on the door, and he couldn't get up. And I walked in. I said, "Sir, I'm a preacher down in Liberty. I got some people know you. And I just want to come by and tell you I love you and we're praying for you." You know what that old man did to me? He started squalling. He said, "Before you leave, won't you do something?" He said, "I want to pray for you. You're a preacher and you need my prayers. Would you kneel right?" And I kneeled by that old man's bed. And the Holy Ghost come in that place and smothered me. My Lord, what a blessing. You ever went to somebody trying to be a blessing and you got a blessing? We ought to stay so focused when we come to our church. It's not so much on ourselves. And let me tell you, hurts hurt. I've been cut deep. You've been cut deep. But thank God there's somebody come to the altar and pray with you. That gets some people nervous. It don't get me nervous. I love to feel somebody when I bend over. Somebody loves me enough and cares enough and got the hand on me of praying for me. I know that's too far for some to use religion, but we're not here about religion. We're here about serving Jesus. I don't know about you, but I need somebody praying for me. The hounds of hell's barking on my heels every day of my life. And I need a congregation that loves me and prays for me and is concerned about me. The devil would love for me to fall. He'd love for you to fall. Little old young'uns, y'all's young'uns come up and grab me and preach her. Lord Jesus, help me. Give me grace to stand right. I don't want to be no liberal preacher. Just because the church grows, he quits preaching the Bible. What you need to do is suck it up, be a big boy and big girl, take preaching, do something with it, and come back to church. Quit hunting somebody to get your feelings messed up, give you an excuse to get out of here. We're full of excuses. Well, to throw away our excuses, say, "God, I need you in my life." Miss Sherry, won't you come? I'm done preaching. I've started rambling, but I'm going to ramble a little more. Jude started writing, and he says, "I want to tell you something. I want you to contend for the faith." Ye. That don't mean just the preacher and the leadership. That means everybody in the congregation. Mom and daddies, you ought to want a church that will preach to you the truth. You ought to want to have people that's concerned about you. And like, hey, young people, these older people are trying to direct you and help you to keep you from getting hurt. Preserved in Christ Jesus. I'm glad I'm in Christ Jesus. You know something? As this bride was engaged to her husband as the church, did you know that she had boundaries? She had chaperones. She had people that was looking about her to keep her pure for the wedding. That ought to be the state and the mind of our church. Jesus is coming. And how He finds us is how it's going to keep us. You may be here this morning, you've never been saved. It'd be a great morning to trust Jesus to be your Savior. You know what I yearn for, church? Brother Jody Harris, one of the best friends in my life, called me Sunday. He said, "Preacher, something happened in our church this morning I hadn't seen in a long time." He said, "I didn't get to preach." He said, "God moved in that place. Brother Tim, they was young'uns, 6, 7, 8 year old, coming to the altar weeping, broken." That's what we're missing. We're missing God to move on sinners. And sinner, let me tell you, you may think that it's just a preacher here that gets up and harps and raves. But let me tell you something. If a preacher don't preach truth, you'll never get saved. There's one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.